The On Point Basketball Podcast is recorded in front of a, well, nobody. But it's up next. Carl, Aiden, you're on point.
Welcome into episode 3 of the On Point Podcast. We've got the normal crew here, Carl and Aiden. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, good, man. Good.
Another exciting week in the NBA, of course.
Indeed.
Yeah, so we've got a few things lined up for tonight. We've got our revised picks on our All-Star selections now that we know the starters. And we're also going over a bit on the Cavs-Warriors. Also, we're going to be talking about rivalries and bandwagon fans. So, if you're a bandwagon fan, listen up, because we're going to be talking about you. And then we're also going to add in a bit of trivia questions that we're going to come up with each week to sort of test the knowledge of one another. So, yeah. And before we get into it, we'll just want to thank GP and Rob at podcastsport.com. And, yeah, check out their prediction machine as normal. Really good info there, especially if you like to place a few bets. Yeah, so we're going to start off with our revised All-Star picks. First up, Aiden, what do you think of the starters?
Well, I think you know what I'm going to start off with. The fact that a guy averaging a triple-double isn't starting is pure insanity.
Yes, yeah. Averaging a triple-double and cannot cannot get in the top 10 players in the league. Yeah, picked by the players, fans, and media now, of course. So, yeah, I agree. It's a bit of a travesty, really. Russell not being there. So who yeah. Instead of Curry? For
yeah,
you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Curry's been good, but Westbrook's been on another level.
Yeah, with Harden not too far behind as well.
Yeah.
How about in the East? What are you thinking in the East?
I think Kyle Lowry should have been in ahead of DeRozan. Lowry's numbers are very similar to Steph Curry's first MVP season. So it's a bit of a shame he missed out, but he's going to make it on the bench, and DeRozan's deserving as well.
Yeah, DeRozan is deserving. So for me in the East, I would actually replace Irving and DeRozan in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. I'd have Wall and Lowry. In the backcourt players there. Irving's been really solid this year, so, and same with DeRozan, but I just think Lowry and Wall have done a bit more. Lowry's just shooting at an unbelievable clip this year. High percentage of 3 points. He's attempting, I think, 7.5 a game, roughly around there as well, so good, both great defensively. I think that's where they have, well, he'd definitely have it over Irving, even though he's stepped up. And, DeRozan. So, yeah, you can't go wrong with LeBron, Jimmy Butler, and the Greek Freak. It's pretty hard to go past those in the starting lineup.
No complaints there for me.
Yeah. Yeah, so, we made our picks January the 1st this year. We chose 12 of each. So, obviously, in the West, CP3 won't be there, so that's one spot vacated for me. I think you must have Chris Paul there as well.
I also have Chris Paul. So.
Yeah. So what? So have you gone anyone different?
Well, I didn't have Westbrook on my bench, so that's different. It mostly looks the same, but yeah, obviously Chris Paul being out opened up a spot, and I struggled to fill that spot because there were a bunch of good names, but. My bench as it stands right now would be Russell Westbrook, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Marc Gasol, DeMarcus Cousins. Oh, I think I've gone one too many. Damian Lillard and Gordon Hayward.
Well, that's exactly what I picked. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, no.
I was going to say.
Did you have Karl Anthony Townsend?
No.
Yeah, I had Karl Anthony Towns, so that's my only difference, I think, there.
So who have you left out? Clay.
So I've left out Clay off there.
Yeah.
I was very close Yeah, Clay once again very close. Also, I think Gobert and McCollum as well were very close for me. So, I had Boogie, Marc Gasol, Karl Anthony Towns, and Hayward was my only difference from before. So I basically switched on Hayward for CP3. Hayward's numbers, he's just improved every year. And you look what the Utah have done this year. Just outstanding defense. He's not shooting as well as his rookie season, but after that, every year he's improved. And it's the most points he's scored out of any of those seven seasons he's been in the league.
I was just going to say, Hayward also doesn't get enough credit for his rebounding and assists as well. Like, he's always, up about six boards, five assists to the game as well.
Yeah, he just consistently gets things done without getting that recognition. He's always sort of gone under the radar, and he just deserves it this year. And he's absolutely not too far behind, like, Kawhi Leonard sort of numbers. I think his rebounding in this... his rebounding is slightly under, and same with his assist numbers, but for me, he's a sort of just under that Kawhi Leonard level of what he's doing. Taking the most shots he's ever had in his career as well, so... Yeah. So, how about in the East? Has your bench changed much?
I had the dropout Avery Bradley. He's been good, I didn't even know that. I just felt there's more deserving players. I really, really, really wanted to put in Embiid, but I just got no room for him. So my bench is Isaiah Thomas, John Wall, Kevin Love, Paul Millsap, Paul George, Kemba Walker, and Kyle Lowry.
Wow. Same as me. Same as me. And we didn't even check. So who out of all of those guys there, who were you thinking of pushing out to put Embiid in?
Originally, I didn't have Paul George in there, and I had Embiid. And then I was like, hang on, no, Paul George has to be in there.
And what the Pacers have been doing. I mean, the Philly's been great lately as well, but the Pacers are... They're starting to get things done.
Yep.
I think.
I actually heard an interesting stat not long ago. When Embiid is on the floor, the 76ers are plus 20, roughly. And when he's off the floor, they're minus 240.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's insane.
Seven out of... No, they lost today, I think. So it must be 7 out of 10. Of one in January, so he's changing it big time for Philly.
Yep, and they've been top five defense in January too, which is insane.
Yeah, second in blocks in the league.
Yep,
blocks per game. So I also left Embiid out. My change was I put in Kemba over Whiteside for me. Even though Charlotte has dropped off recently. They had that great one over Toronto.
Yeah.
And then just snuck it home really against the Nets today, but Kemba's just doing great things with their team. Batum not far behind in that next sort of group.
Yeah.
Out of the all star levels. But I had the same lineup as you. Paul George just snuck in as well for me. The Toronto backcourt had to be in there.
Absolutely.
And Millsap's getting it done with Atlanta as normal.
Under the radar as always.
Yep. So there's others. I mean, Isaiah's been balling at the moment. John Wall, it was in my starting lineup. Yeah, so for me. It's Whiteside, I didn't really want to take him out, even though, you can say, he's putting up numbers, he's in a crap team and he's just gonna grab a heap of boards, but even on a crap team, you gotta. Someone's
got to
step up and do it. He's leading the league in rebounding still. I think he's about 18, 17 points a game.
Yeah, he's up there in block shots too.
Yeah, so It's hard for me to leave out, but I thought Kemba just got that bit more star power.
Yeah.
That's what I put in my head.
Yeah. Someone who I really wanted to put in as well, and that nobody's talking about this year, is Jabari Parker.
Yeah, I think some people are talking Jabari. I have heard a few people talking All-Star.
If it wasn't for his teammate, he would be the most improved player this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
but he's averaging career highs in points.
Just over 20, I think.
Yeah. Six boards a game. He's shooting 40% from three as well.
Yeah, now that's the big difference there from Jabari this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really wanted to put him in, but not quite yet. Maybe in a year or two.
Give him a bit more time.
Yep.
Yeah, but I've also been impressed with how he's playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so pretty much it really on the All-Stars. I mean, yeah, just really the Westbrook thing, eh? I mean...
Yeah, oh man, don't get me started.
Yeah, and, you know, everyone knew Curry's numbers would drop down a bit this year with Kevin Durant, obviously, being there, and Durant's just so efficient this year. I mean, Curry's going to lose a bit, but he's got the name, and that's, even though, Westbrook's, if you went outside NBA circles or basketball fans in general, you'd get more people that know Steph Curry than Russell Westbrook, and I think that's what we'd probably got him home. And some people don't like Westbrook that much, whereas Curry's a bit more easy to like, I suppose.
Yeah. Also brings up, I think the fan voting system's just completely broken. I like that they tried changing it up this year, but Westbrook was first amongst coaches and players, and he still didn't start. So that shows just how many fans jumped on Steph Curry over Westbrook, even though Westbrook is more deserving.
On the bandwagon, was it?
Yeah.
To be discussed very soon. So even with 50% there from the players and the media, and he still couldn't get their starting spots. I mean, maybe they just need to limit one vote per person instead of being able to vote just about as many times as you like. So that's probably the change they need to make it there. Make it a bit more official, fill in a form. I mean, they won't get as much votes, but
does it make
it fairer?
I think now with All-Star appearances having an effect on contracts and stuff as well, I think it would be a good time to just send it back to coaches pick the All-Stars, starters and bench.
Well, imagine if Pachulia got in the starting lineup in the West.
Exactly. A few years ago, Yi Yan Lan just missed out on starting the All-Star game.
Just. And Yao Gong was pretty much starting every year he was in the NBA.
Yep. Even, I think, his rookie season or his second season, he started ahead of Shaq.
Yeah.
I love Yao Ming, but he shouldn't have been starting either, Shaq.
No.
And even, I remember one year, Bruce Bowen nearly started.
Hey, the 3-and-D master. That we all love to hate.
Yeah.
All right, so who you got lining up in the three-point contest?
Okay, well, I kind of just rushed this together, but, I mean, I've got Steph, because... one of the best shooters of all time. I've got Eric Gordon, because he's tied with Steph for most threes made this season.
Yep.
I've got Otto Porter.
Leading the league in percentage.
I was very surprised to find out he is leading the league in percentage. I have Clay, because people can't get enough of the Warriors.
Splash Brothers.
Yep. I have Patty Mills.
Nice.
He's been destroying it this year off the bench for San Antonio. I have Kemba Walker because Charlotte. But also he's hitting over 40% of his threes for a guy that's always been described as inefficient. I got Kevin Love.
Got the big man in there.
Yeah. Last but not least, can you guess?
Isaiah Thomas.
No. No.
Joe Ingles.
Think someone with more swag.
Swaggy P.
Swaggy P deserves it. He's improved this year. He's improved his attitude. He's improved his defense. He's improved his shooting. He deserves an All-Star Weekend moment.
Did we ever think Nick Young could do that?
No, absolutely not.
So what is his shooting percentage was? In the 40s then, for you to pick him?
Might be a little lower than that. He's up there with made threes, I know that much.
Okay, 42% he's shooting.
Well, there you go.
42, and he's putting up 7 a game, so it's decent.
It's pretty efficient.
Now, I've got the Splash Brothers. Power, they're both just shooting under 40%.
Yep.
But, yeah, Steph putting up the most in the NBA.
Yeah.
Clay not too far behind. And they'll nail it out if those two make it through to the final in the three-point contest. I've got Kyle Lowry this year.
Nice. I chose Kemba over him, but really Lowry could be in there easily.
Yeah, just about 45% from three. Yep. Eric Gordon, just for the sheer amount of three, he's just...
Insane.
He could nearly go most improved this year, which would be crazy.
Yeah, why? Where was he in for the Pelicans?
Yeah, he's that guy with, like, injured all the time. You know, him and Ryan Anderson, those two.
Yeah.
Mind you, he's also got injured again. I got Isaiah Thomas, from what he's doing. He's just momentum. He's just going into it. Absolutely. These ones might surprise you, but JJ Redick, I've got.
Yeah. No, I looked at him.
Probably, between him and Clay, maybe the best catch and shoot players in the NBA.
Yep.
I've got Zach LaVine.
Nice.
The guy who couldn't shoot. Well, that's what they thought anyway.
Yeah.
Now, that'd be cool to see someone win a dunk contest and the three-point contest in the same year. Now, that's why I put him in there.
Interesting.
Now, and the last but not least, CJ McCollum I've put in there.
Yep.
I was very close to putting... I wanted to put Otto Porter in, but McCollum's just putting up a lot more shots than Porter.
Yep.
And I think just in that All-Star game, it would be cool to see him there. And Joe Ingles as well, just as a bit of a...
Oh, Mr. Jingles.
Yeah. I think he's only... he's nearly averaging three three-points attempted... period game, but yeah, he's very close, so maybe if one of those guys get injured, I'll throw them in there. Zach LaVine shooting 41% from three this year, putting up seven shots a game, so that'd be cool. So yeah, so you already know one of my dunk contestants there, so who have you got in the dunk contestants?
Well, I put down the two guys that the NBA has already invited, Jonathan Simmons and Jaylen Brown, because really, there's no reason for them to turn it down, so they're going to be there.
Yeah, they're always like picking a couple of younger guys. Yep. I mean, Simmons isn't really young, but he's young enough. Yeah.
And then I think the NBA would be completely stupid if they didn't go for a rematch last year. Aaron Gordon, who was robbed, FYI,
yes.
And Zach LaVine.
Gordon was robbed, by the way.
He was.
Yeah, it's almost a mini rivalry there between those two and the dunk contestants.
In a way,
Yeah, so for me, I just picked four. I didn't pick Simmons or Brown because I thought, let's get a couple of other guys better. So obviously, Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine have to be in there.
Yep.
Now, if it was me who could pick these, I'd go the Greek Freak, Giannis, Antetokounmpo. And just to give it a bit of spice and flavour, someone that's really lighting it up on social media, Joel Embiid.
Interesting.
Hard for a big man to win it, but Dwight has before. And I just think he'd come up with something just out there.
Because he's a creative guy.
Yeah, people will watch. And having like Greek Freakers in there as well, plus Gordon LaVine, I mean, that's... Yep. That would be cool. And the other guy I wanted to see in there, but he hasn't played in a month, Larry Nance, just because of that dunk.
Yeah, I would have had him in there if he wasn't injured.
Because that dunk was insane. I still watch
that. What he's done.
Yeah.
He's done two.
Yeah. That one on the Nets, yeah, that was just cool.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got you, DeRozan. I thought, I just like DeRozan in game dunking. I just, yeah.
So Giannis, was he was in a couple of years ago and he didn't fare too well.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, he's something mentally has changed in him this year. He's just really stepping up, so maybe the confidence he can, a bit more confidence he can throw a few things together.
Yep. Okay, so if I had to, if I kicked out Brown and Simmons, one person, I want to see Jabari Parker in there because he can dunk.
Yeah, nice.
Like he can really dunk, and that'll make up for him missing out on the All-Star game. And the other guy I want to see, the greatest, Vince.
Vincent, no.
He said he's not going to, but
he can still throw it down. He can still throw it down.
I think if he was actually officially invited, those competitive juices might start flowing again.
Yeah, imagine Vince coming in there and like beating like Gordon or something in the final. That would be awesome. Yeah.
Stop Zach LaVine from winning three in a row.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you get DeRozan or Lowry, Toronto guys to throw it up there, even though he plays for Memphis now.
Yeah.
That would be cool, Vince Envy in there.
Yes.
You remember my little idea last time of having sort of a Legends game or something like that, or maybe a Legends Dunkathon.
That'd be great. Who was it? Someone suggested something with the 3-point contest, and I want to see your thoughts on it. Someone suggested, like they do with the skills contest, a big man group and a small man group, and then the winners of each thing meet in the final.
Yeah. Obviously, there's nowhere near as many good shooting big men, or as efficient as the guards. It's a trend which is only getting stronger in the NBA with shoot and basketball worldwide, really. So, yeah, having a group of big men in there, they'd probably do well. I mean, yeah, Kevin Love would be up there. Who would be the other big guys?
Gasol, Joel Embiid,
even Brook Lopez is shooting at a decent clip.
Ryan Anderson, you'd class as a big man, I guess.
Yeah, well, he's 6'10", isn't he? So,
Channing
Frye, yeah.
Kelly Olynyk. You could definitely make a pool, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that could work. That could work. Dirk, just for old time's sake.
Oh, yeah, Dirk. I'd love to see him in one more. I'd love to see him in one more All-Star game, but it's not going to happen. Because I have this feeling that this is his last season.
Yeah, there was a little bit of talk about just getting him in there on the legacy vote, but yeah, for me, yeah, I'd rather just see a bit of a Legends game. Even if it was a 3-on-3 half-court sort of thing would be...
Maybe Dirk can join Ice Cube's 3-on-3 league.
yeah. Qualifies anyway because he's like nearly 40. Yeah, cool. So that about wraps up the All-Stars. So, yeah. So we're going to talk about the Cavs and Warriors. And then we'll sort of work into it on the rivalry thing and the bandwagon fan things. And we'll sort of work that into the Cavs and Warriors. It sort of goes together, I think.
Easy enough.
Yeah, so game two of the rematch of the finals. So... nowhere near as close as the Christmas Day game.
Definitely.
Warriors blowing them out. Obviously, this has been talked about a bit so far. But yeah, LeBron's flop was sort of the biggest talking point of it. Draymond going off and doing a bit of acting himself afterwards, which is pretty cool, I think. And getting just blown out. I think at the start of the game, when I watched it, the Cavs just seemed to want to play Warriors ball. They were just getting it down there. They were picking the pace up and just trying to force shots. I think they went up 9-2 and Lou called a timeout. And then they slowed it down and tried to play Cavs basketball. So I think for us from the start, they were in the wrong mindset. Yeah, they were six games into the road West Coast trip. And, you know, there's but a few excuses going around that they were tired and things like that. I think they played in Sacramento a couple of nights before, so they did have a little bit of rest before playing this one, and it was Martin Luther King Day, so they sort of got to put the big match up on. So once the flop happened, I thought it just ignited it, and the Warriors just weren't going to lose from there. But yeah, it was a blowout, but there's not too much more to read into, in my opinion. Obviously, the Cavs aren't at full strength either. What did you take out of the game?
After the Christmas game, people seem to think the Cavs have the Warriors number, like with the, you know, coming back from the 3-1 and all that. But that's clearly not the case. This is still, it could be anyone's. If once they, like, when they meet in the finals, because it's probably going to happen, it can still go either way. It's not written in stone at all.
Yeah, well, nothing's written in stone. Just takes a one good kick to the nuts from Draymond Green, or or a big flop from LeBron, and you know, can just change the whole course of a series. So,
yep.
Yeah. So yeah, obviously the Cavs just come out of that pretty not looking too good. So yeah, so Cavs and Warriors. We can sort of talk about the rivalry. Is it a rivalry? Are there any other rivalries in the NBA? And what is a rivalry? So what do you think? Are we calling it a rivalry?
I think you have to. Like, I really do. Like, they've met in the last two finals. They're the best team in each conference, like, by a bit of a margin. They don't like each other. You know, Draymond doesn't like LeBron. LeBron doesn't like Draymond. I'd definitely call it a rivalry. And I'd call it the best rivalry we've had in the NBA in a while.
In a while? Not thinking like Heat and Boston or Heat and Knicks or...
Yeah, but that's still... You're going back...
What are you going back? Even Clippers Warriors. There's a bit of feistiness there.
Yeah, that doesn't compare on... Once the Clippers can make it to the finals, we can talk about them then, but...
Well, it's not going to happen with CP3 being out.
No.
Yeah, so... For me, I'm not calling it a rivalry yet. I'm probably on the... least popular side here. LeBron didn't say it's a rivalry. It's, don't you need both sides of the... of the rivalry to actually think it is one, or is that just LeBron, or do the rest of the Cavs make it out?
I think it's just LeBron playing it down.
Like, playing a few mind games there? Or?
Yeah, exactly. Like, making the Warriors think that they're not thinking about them, but, you know, we saw the thing with the Halloween party that Cleveland did with the tombstones for the Warriors players and things like that. Like, it's a rivalry.
I mean, well, was that just because they beat them in the finals? I mean, who else in the East is going to come up and match the Cavs? I mean, is that just because they are the best team? I mean, if teams meet each other in the finals, is that... I mean, it has happened 2 years in a row, but, mm-hmm. I mean, did Dallas and Miami become rivalries, or, you know, does it take... did Miami and San Antonio become rivalries because they...
I get your point.
Do the players have to?
There's got to be a fire between the two teams. Like, you know, with the Spurs, they don't play that type of game. They don't really have rivalries because, you know, they're very quiet on the court. They're respectful, you know. Whereas the Warriors, they've got Draymond Green. Like, he doesn't give a shit about anybody.
Well, I think that's the thing.
Yeah, they got Zaza Pachulia tackling point guards and shit as well.
And standing over them.
Yeah.
When Stephen Adams isn't there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so for me, yeah, rivalry takes... The players have sort of got to either hate each other or they really want to beat the shit out of them and win well. They really want to rub it in, you know? So for me, it could be the start of a rivalry. I'm not saying it's a full-blown rivalry. I mean, if they meet in this year's finals and it's really close, or you know, something else goes down, which I'm sure it will, mate, then we'll start calling it a rivalry. I think, I mean, Draymond Green starts shit with like every team anyway, so for me,
that's fair.
Yeah, so for me, I'm just calling it, I'm not calling it a rivalry yet. Yeah, I just think just because they're the best doesn't really make it a rivalry, but once we get a, I mean, this game that's just happened sort of edged it towards more of a rivalry with LeBron's flop, and that sort of just fired up the crowd into a bit more of a playoff intensity. I mean, the Christmas game is a real good close game, and that's the other thing a rivalry's got to have. It's got to be really close all the time, like Steelers Ravens, how it was always close no matter what, you know that. And that, I mean, that was interdivision as well, where these are different conferences, so they're only going to meet twice compared to four times each year. So, but hey, Lakers Celtics, man, that was a massive rivalry over the 80s, and they just, and it still went on even in the 2000s. You know, they met each other in the finals. So yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be interdivision. So yeah, for me, that's so. Going back through history, did the 90s, was the 90s and 80s, that was more of a time for rivalries, wasn't it? I mean, you had Pistons, Bulls, you had
Bulls, Knicks,
Knicks, Pacers, you had, even in the 2000s, yeah, Pistons, Pacers, that was decent, yeah, so,
Lakers, Kings, back when the Kings were good.
Yeah, Lakers, Kings, early 2000s.
Tim Donahue series.
Yeah, won't start on that one, but yeah, that definitely was a rivalry. There was genuine hate there between Kings and Lakers. Yeah. So for me, it died. Well, it didn't die. Rivalries didn't die, but it definitely hasn't been as good as what it has been over the years.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think a lot of it is because players are becoming more friendly with players on other teams now, whereas, you know, back in the 90s, if they weren't on your team, you wanted to kill them.
Yeah, and that was the whole big thing about Kevin Durant going to the Warriors. You can't beat him, join him. I mean, so many older players have come out and go, no, well, we wouldn't have done that. We would have wanted to beat him more. And there's current NBA guys that have said that as well. But
funnily enough, Kevin Durant said that when LeBron went to Miami. So.
Yeah. So. Championship rings can change a man's mind. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Now, for me, I actually think the biggest rivalry in the NBA right now is not between teams; it's between two players.
Yeah, who you got?
I think you could probably guess. It's KD and Russell Westbrook.
I mean, yeah, definitely.
I think that is now the biggest rivalry in the NBA.
Yep.
So, you look at the series last year between the Thunder and the Warriors, and that was intense. There was fire in that series, and it's going to be more, and I'm going to love seeing when Kevin Durant goes back to OKC to see what happens. And even that little Pachulia thing on overstanding over Westbrook. So
Stephen Adams is going to kill someone.
Yeah. So for me, that is potentially the best rivalry, I think, more than Warriors-Cavs. I think Warriors-Thunder could be the best rivalry.
The problem with that is that the Thunder are clearly a step below the Warriors.
And talent-wise, whereas
I think the Cavs are on par with the Warriors.
That's
but
true.
It's definitely agreed. There's definitely a lot of fire between the Warriors and the Thunder because of the whole Durant thing.
Yeah, and I think in a good rivalry, though, even though one team might be struggling, they always find a way to step it up against their rival team. So we'll sort of see if the Thunder really make it close with the Warriors, just with a full-strength team, of course, to see if they can sort of even keep it close and just make it a real tough, gritty game to, you know, real edgy and get Draymond pissed off and get Westbrook pissed off and make Adams, I don't know, floor someone and just stand there and just, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing special. But yeah, that's what I think. And it's going to be odd. I want to see some more. I want to see players just genuinely not liking each other.
I think it's making a comeback. I think it is. A little fun mini rivalry that I don't know, you might not have noticed it. DeMarcus Cousins and Myers Leonard.
No, tell me more.
It's in the last game those two teams played, like, they just got into it all the time, and apparently it goes back like two or three seasons where DeMarcus fouled Myers Leonard really hard or something along those lines, and ever since then, every time those teams play. And then when they played last time, DeMarcus Cousins was getting interviewed and he basically just shat all over Myers Leonard. just said that, you know, this guy thinks he's tough, he thinks he's big, but that's when DeMarcus scored like 53 points or something like
that. Yeah, he did get that 50-point game against the Blazers, yeah.
Yeah, and he just, shat all over Myers Leonard.
Well, hilarious. Maybe that can be the next rivalry, Portland versus Sacramento.
Yeah.
And they will be fighting out for their eighth spot, so.
Yeah. Hey, for a lower tier rivalry, it could get worse.
I just wish like Clippers and Lakers could have been like more intense, like.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't, eh? I mean, there was a couple of games there, but there just wasn't that passion in it.
Nah. I think it's because ever since their hot start, the Lakers have sort of, come back down to reality, and they're just, they're doing their thing.
Yeah, I think when the Clippers started to make ways and when they got Chris Paul on board and they started to become good, it would have been good to see them just really give it to the... I mean, they have, but
yeah.
It would have been great to see
a bit like of a rivalry come LA, out of that. LA rivalry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
EVA and Knicks and Nets, but...
Yeah, that's not going to happen now. Jesus. Yeah. It's two terrible teams.
The rosters on those teams. Shit. So, speaking of Cavs and Warriors, bandwagon fans. We all like to say we're not one. We all like to give them shit. Who? Now, there's also think there's bandwagon fans of players, not just teams. Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
We won't get into the players now, but which team? I mean, it's going to be pretty obvious.
Warriors.
Yeah. It's the Warriors. They have the most bandwagon fans.
Yeah.
So, we saw what Milwaukee did with the bandwagon fans with Warriors jerseys on in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Gave them a bit of grief. I thought it was great.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was great giving them stick. It was really cool to see that. Are there more bandwagon fans now than what there ever has been, or are they getting called out more now, or?
That's the thing. With social media, what it is, like people want to shy away from being called a bandwagon fan. Like, you'll notice even in someone will make a comment on something, and they'll always state, like, if they're commenting on the Warriors, they'll always say, blah, 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 blah.
I'm not a fan.
And I'm not a Warriors fan. Like, you don't need to say that.
Yeah, you don't. You say it, you probably are one.
Yeah. Like, no one wants to be tarred with the bandwagon brush, but...
Yeah, for me, growing up, was always the Lakers. Oh, you're a Lakers fan. You're a bandwagon fan to me. You're just jumping on the most... after the Celtics. But the Lakers seem to be, the glitz team. They were always sort of the team everyone wanted to jump aboard. With Kobe as well.
Lakers and Bulls.
Yeah, Bulls obviously because of Jordan, and then I thought it wasn't so much with LeBron in his first stint with the Cavs, but when he went to Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Now that was just a major jump on the bandwagon. People. I don't even know if people knew about the NBA in Miami until LeBron got there.
Yep.
So that, to me, they were... Everyone jumped on their bandwagon when they thought, oh, LeBron's here, oh, Dwayne Wade, Oh, and the guy from Toronto, Chris Bosch, as well.
Oh, they got a Velociraptor too. That's pretty sweet.
So yeah, that everyone jumped on Miami. I thought it was actually shocking. Some people. I mean, I give it up to the people who are Miami fans when Sean Marks was starting games there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, if you were a Miami fan through the tough times, and then LeBron comes along and you're like, oh yeah, I like Miami, everyone's going to assume you're a bandwagon fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, what no, sort no, of...
I liked them when they were bad.
Yeah, yeah. I was there when we drafted Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
I mean, they were always... They had those sort of good runs with Zoe and Tim Hardaway and...
Yeah.
Yeah, even Glenn Rice, Eddie Jones.
Yep.
They were all... See, I didn't mind them then. I mean, they were one of the teams that you sort of don't, you know, you have a sort of group of teams that you sort of don't mind going well.
Yeah.
And I sort of was good, well, glad when I picked the Pistons as a team that they were just like absolute crap when I just, when, well, I mean, Grant Hill was there, but they were rubbish.
Yeah.
And then they went on to, yeah, win that championship, and I was like, yes. I'm not jumping on them on championship yet. I've been here for a few years.
Validation. So,
yeah. And obviously you being a Charlotte fan, there's no sort of bandwagon even to jump on, really.
In fact, it was quite the opposite. The reason I chose to like the Hornets is they were playing the Bulls at the time. And I figured everyone liked the Bulls. So I chose the Hornets.
Let's beat the Bulls, yeah.
Yeah. Although that team back in 92-93, that was a killer team, man.
Yeah, that was.
Lonzo Mourning, Larry Johnson, Muggsy Bogues.
Muggsy Bogues, yep. Oh, Dale Curry.
Yep.
Yeah, so would to class someone as a bandwagon fan, do they have a team first then change, or if they just, it's their first team they've supported, does that actually class them? Because that, or is it,
it's,
if they jump on a championship team straight away, does that make them a bandwagon fan, or do you have to wait for a bit before you can start calling them out?
It's hard to say. Like, if they jump from team to team, they're 100% a bandwagon fan. There's no way around that.
No doubt about it.
But if you're, like, if you're genuinely interested in basketball and you're trying to learn, and you go, ooh, I like the look of that team, I don't class that as bandwagon. But if you have had no interest in basketball, and then you hear all these people like, oh, yo, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and you're like, I'm going to like that because everyone else likes it. That's bandwagoning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And that's like when people are wearing singlets and they've got a big-time name on there, they don't even know who it is. They're just putting it on.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I've had that a couple of times. Like, I saw someone with... It might have been Curry as well back before I hated the Warriors, but I love their uniform. I was like, oh, that's a cool jersey. He's like, oh, I just bought it.
And the bandwagon's fans make all of us other NBA fans just hate that team, even though you don't necessarily hate their style of play or even their players. I mean, before the Warriors became good, I sort of always had a soft spot for Golden State. I loved those teams of the 90s, and even when they were absolute rubbish as well, when they had Jameson and Jason Richardson and those guys.
Ricky Blaylock.
Yeah, Blaylock. I mean, Donald Foyle.
Donald Foyle. Oh, dear.
So I sort of had a soft spot for them, and then I did meet a couple of... Well, I talked to a couple of guys a year or two before they won their first championship. Oh, not their first one, obviously, the one just just recently, and it was sort of that momentum coming up, and a few of the basketball guys sort of got on board them, but it's hard to call them bandwagon then because they just scraped their thing into the playoffs.
Yeah.
There was a big hype about them, especially over Australia with Bogut been there, so
yeah.
If you change teams, you're definitely bandwagon.
Yeah.
If you don't know, if you only know one player on that team, you're bandwagon.
Yeah.
Yeah, just pick a team and stick with it.
pick a team and stick with it thick and thin.
Yeah. Sometimes just thin as well.
Yeah. Shout out to Brooklyn fans.
Yeah. Mentioned Sean Marks, he's got a big job to do.
Oh yeah. He's got a hell of a job.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much all on the bandwagon fans, so any Miami guys or Golden State guys wanna tell us and that we're talking shit, just let us know.
Yep.
I'm coming to a bit of a trivia segment here of three questions each. Have you got three questions for me?
I got three questions for you. Okay, how you want to do this? Just want to go one each,
yeah.
One at a time? Or, okay.
Yeah, we'll go one
first
at a
one,
time.
First one, I started with an easy one. You should get this. During the 03-04 Lakers season, Lakers were starting three Hall of Famers and one future Hall of Famer, Gary Payton, Kobe Bryant, Karl Malone, and Shaquille O'Neal. Who was their fifth starter?
Oh, easy. Easy. Yeah. Devin George.
I thought you'd get that.
Devin George.
I started with an easy one for you, though.
I wasn't going to slip and say Medvedenko or anything like that.
Brian Russell.
Hey, Brian Russell was alright.
Yeah, and not right. When he was on that team.
Yeah.
He was washed up by then.
Yeah, Utah is good. Okay, I've got a... No, you should be able to get this one. Yeah, which current NBA player has played for the most number of franchises?
Ooh.
And how many? I'll throw that in.
This is probably someone obvious. I want to say Matt Barnes.
No. But he is second equal with 9 teams.
Matt Barnes is second equal with 9?
Yep.
So someone's had more than 9 teams. That's crazy.
Yeah. They're not that old either.
Nah, who is it?
Ish Smith.
Oh, wow.
10 teams.
That's surprising.
And he's only 27, I think. 27.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. If Detroit trades him, he'll be up to 11.
Yep.
And 12's the record. Chucky Brown.
Yeah. And Brad Laus.
Yeah, don't know who that is, but yeah.
Yeah. I remember he was a white guy, and his goal was to play for every team, but it was too bad he didn't have talent.
He only made it to 12.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got next?
Okay, this one's a little bit of a long one, but let's see how you go. It's looking like the Warriors are going to have 4 All-Stars this year. Since 1998, 4 teams have achieved this. Name the 4 teams, and if you can name the players as well.
So 4 teams where they had 4 All-Stars in the same season.
Yep.
Ooh. Now Miami wouldn't have had 4, because they would have had just LeBron, Bosh, and Wade.
Yeah, Miami isn't one of them. You should
now,
get
Celtics.
You should get 2
Celtics.
Of them. Yeah.
So that would be Rondo and the Big 3.
Yep.
So that's 1.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta last year?
Yep.
They had all 5. If,
nah,
no.
Just 4. Nah, Demari Carroll, no thanks.
Yeah, so Atlanta.
Nah, 4. They had 4.
Okay. Atlanta, Boston. So we've got 2 more.
Yep.
So since when?
98.
So was that Lakers team, but probably not Peyton and Malone. Probably just Kobe and Shaq. Is that right?
Yep, and 2 other players.
From the Lakers?
Yeah.
Well, and that was right, so it was the Lakers.
It was the Lakers, it's not that team though.
So it was not 2 guys off their bench?
No, oh, one was starting. No, they were both starting. Bryant wasn't starting. That's a bit of a clue.
Whoa, okay, we're going back that far. So that must be 98.
Yeah.
And it was Lakers.
Yeah.
Shaq had just landed there.
Yep.
I can't even think. Who else was on that Lakers team? So Shaq, Kobe.
I know you're a big fan of one of them.
Ooh. I can't even think.
Eddie Jones and Nick Van Exel.
No way.
Yeah.
I was thinking Eddie Jones.
Yeah, he was starting, and Brian was coming off the bench.
Wow. Wow.
When Kobe was ready to start, that's when Eddie Jones got shipped out to Miami.
Cool, okay, well that's three.
Yeah.
So the other one...
I thought you would have got the other one first.
That's the obvious one, is it? Is it... Spurs?
No.
Ooh. It's probably just three from the Spurs package. I'll say
it was either 2003 or 2004.
Wasn't the Pistons. I don't think they had four. Or was it Pistons?
It was the Pistons.
It was the Pistons.
It was.
So Billups, Rip, Sheed, and Big Ben.
Yep.
Oh, they did make the four.
Yep, that's the four teams.
Your memory's fading.
Yeah.
It was 12 years ago now.
Crazy, eh?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe she didn't get picked in that one because he came on late. But yeah, oh, cool. So that's cool. Three years. Yeah, I knew Tayshaun. He always sort of gets left out of that starting lineup.
Always the defensive guys.
Yeah, so just the Lakers in the West, eh?
Yep.
Till Golden State, probably this year. All right, second question for me. Who has missed the most field goal attempts? Who's missed the most field goal attempts this season?
I thought you were going to say an NBA history. I was going to say Kobe. this season. Russ.
Yep.
Yep.
He's missed 600 shots.
That's awesome.
He's also made the most, and he's also attempted the most.
Yep.
Yeah.
600, that's crazy.
So he's taken over 1,000 shots so far.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Alright, for your third question. Of players drafted from the year 2000 onwards, how many second round draft picks have become all-stars?
Ginobili.
He was drafted 99.
Ooh. Okay, Draymond.
Yes.
Millsap?
Yes.
Second rounders.
Yep.
Big Ben was undrafted.
That's correct.
What's the first round? So there's only two. Maybe there must be a few other guys in the second round. Did Isaiah make it in last year? Was All Stars?
Yes, he did.
Yep. So there's another one. Second rounders. Must be only maybe two or three more. I'm going to guess seven.
Ten. Yeah. There you go. In order. Michael Redd, Mehmet Okur, Gilbert Arenas.
Okur made the All-Stars.
He did, 2007.
Utah.
Gilbert Arenas, Carlos Boozer, Kyle Korver, yes. Mo Williams, Paul Millsap, Marc Gasol, Isaiah Thomas, Draymond Green.
Yes, Marc Gasol was second round.
He was.
So it was Cole Gore, yeah.
And yeah, if I had gone back further, Manu would have been in there as well, but he was drafted in 99.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, only 10 guys. Wonder how many were undrafted. Probably just
Big Ben. Yeah.
Here's one of just relating Golden State and All-Star games.
Okay.
Last Golden State Warriors head coach to coach in an All-Star game. Who and what year?
Ooh. It's not Mark Jackson.
No.
Okay.
Popovich has coached plenty recent in the last.
Yeah. So you got to go back
20 years.
The Warriors would run Team C. PJ Carlissimo.
Good attempt.
Wait, Don Nelson.
Yes.
92. I was going to say 93.
Yeah, very close. Yeah, 92.
Forgot old Donnie Nelson was there.
Yeah.
Yes. Was that Run TMC, 92?
Yes. Now, Sprewell come on, the next year. So, yeah.
And then a couple of years later, he choked his coach.
Yeah. We could do a whole podcast on Latrell Sprewell.
Oh, we should. We should. Actually, he is honestly one of my favourite players, man. I really enjoyed him.
Character of the game.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he just wanted to feed his kids.
Yeah, we've got to do that. I've got to feed my kids.
Yeah, 30 mil, though. He needed more to feed his kids.
Yeah, so that about sums it up on our topics here. A few other things going on recently. I would notice Sam Dick has really been stepping up lately.
Yep.
In a big game today.
I saw the game against the Warriors. Played really good defense. Good hustle plays.
Yes.
The shooting wasn't quite there, but like the energy was.
Yeah, he scored 30 today.
I didn't see that.
That's good. So recently, everyone's... See, this sort of goes on the bandwagon thing. Is Joel Embiid becoming a bandwagon, or is he walking the walk?
Well, do you mean like players that like him?
Oh, more media and fans are just really... He's the flavor of the month.
I wouldn't call him that. I think because he's obviously going to be a star, but he's also just so charismatic, you can't help but like him.
Yeah.
You know, he's just having fun. You know, like trying to slide into Kim Kardashian's DMs and you know, trolling Hassan Whiteside on Twitter and things like that.
Yeah, that was good.
It's fantastic. Like wearing his jersey when he goes out to the club. You know, dancing with the cheerleaders. Like it's just having fun, man. Like, you know, he missed two seasons from injuries. Like,
yeah, that's amazing, eh? Like everyone, the process, what, 2 years, and then how well he's just played this year has been quite phenomenal, really. He's a bit of a sensation, yeah. So we might talk about him in a podcast not too far away. Anything else really in the, no really trades going down yet? Mo Williams is cut, obviously.
There was actually one rumour I read about that involved your team.
Rubio for Reggie Jackson.
Yeah. I don't see why the Pistons would ever do that. They've already got a Rubio-ish player in Ish Smith. Like, you don't have two of them. Like, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to play, obviously, a bit better defense than Ish Smith. But
yeah.
A lot of people, and really not liking Reggie Jackson this season.
I think he messed up the chemistry,
I mean, he come back in and sort of things. But we just pipped the Wizards today. So that's three in a row.
Yeah, coming back.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously takes a while. I mean, as I stated before, our whole style of plays obviously changed when Reggie came back in, so and I think we should stick with him. I'm not that trade rumor of Rubio. Also thought some people had Shabazz Muhammad in there as well. I don't really know why we'd want Shabazz Muhammad.
We've got plenty of
We've got plenty of wings. If now, it did happen, I'm not going to be crying or putting up stuff on Twitter saying, oh, this trade's disgusting, but yeah, I mean, Rubio can't shoot, but he's going to get you the passing game and the defense up there, so yeah, I wouldn't want to do it really, but if it did happen, I'm not, yeah.
There's been worse trades.
Yeah.
Like, trade where you guys got Tobias Harris for a whole bunch of nothing last season.
Yeah, that was a great trade.
Oh, yeah. Not for Orlando. I did have a couple of trade ideas I wanted to run by you, see what you think.
Oh, that's, far away.
Sweet. Okay, so the first one is actually by a guy, Bill Simmons, the sports guy.
Bill Simmons.
He suggested it, and I didn't really like it, but I want to see what you think. So it involves Portland sending Damian Lillard to Minnesota for Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, a top four protected first round pick, and Pekovic to make salaries work because he's going to get paid out by insurance anyway.
Wow, that's so Dunn, LaVine, and a top four protected first rounder.
Yep, for Lillard.
For Lillard. Oh, I don't like it for Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they're just going to have the with Wiggins. I mean, they give up Dunn, who's potentially going to be their better defensive orientated guard.
Mm-hmm.
Lillard can't really play defense. Wiggins has been terrible on defense, and Kat is still learning. LaVine has potential, I think, defensively, even though he hasn't been great. I just think LaVine and Dunn could be Minnesota's long term.
Could be quite good.
Yeah. So I like that for Portland. I mean, well, they McCollum, Dunn, and LaVine. That's a loaded backcourt there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
See, the thing
not a big fan
Minnesota is they need a guy that can just be a killer in the fourth quarter. They don't have that guy. They blew another lead today, or was it yesterday? A fourth quarter lead to Philly. I think that was yesterday.
Yep.
But, like, I don't know the exact numbers, but they've blown a lot of fourth quarter leads this season.
Yeah, and I think Wiggins has to be that guy at the moment.
Hmm.
Yeah, when you think sort of killers and fourth quarters, you always think it's sort of guards or wings more than your big guy. Cat's obviously going to be great. He's great right now. Yeah. No, I don't like it. Don't like it.
Yeah, I was a bit iffy on it, but to be honest, I thought you'd lean the other way. I thought you'd think Portland would be the favourite. I got one. I tried to work one out for your team's rumored deal. Something that would make it a bit more
enticing.
Yeah. So, who would say no if Minnesota sent Ricky Rubio and Zach LaVine for Reggie Jackson and KCP? Who says no?
Detroit.
Yeah.
Yep.
KCP that much?
Yeah. Yeah, he's improved. I mean, Levine's improving every year as well, but KCP defensively, he's one of the better two guards in the league. I mean, and he can trouble guys like, not trouble guys like Curry, but he can at least put a dent in the railroad that is guys like that. So, I think Detroit says no on that one. I think LaVine can be a really good two-way player eventually as well, but I like what KCP's doing. He's actually shooting over 40% from three as well this season.
He is, yes. Now, just a quick question. Do you think Zach LaVine is better than Andrew Wiggins now?
Yes.
So do I.
LaVine's been really good this year.
I don't think he would have said yes, but no, I think he is too. I also think Jabari Parker is better than Andrew Wiggins now too.
Wiggins just needs to do something other than score points.
Yeah. He's getting like no rebounds. His defense has been bad for someone who they said coming in was ready to be a lockdown defender immediately.
And he's got the skills to do it. He's got...
Yeah.
I mean, maybe sometimes with a lot of younger guys around him, he's not doing it.
Doesn't have that veteran.
He has a team, but he's not even doing it man-to-man, and he's not hustling. He's not he's not showing that real passion and will to put his body on the line in games to win games. There was a bit of talk about Minnesota trading one of those their big three in LaVine, Wiggins, and Kat, and Wiggins probably the odd man out of that three.
Yeah, I remember, I think I was talking to you about it when the Wolves first signed Thibodeau, And I said it's going to depend on if those young guys can, how they take Thibodeau's coaching style, because he's an angry man.
Yeah.
And it just looks like Wiggins isn't responding.
Yeah, so maybe if he doesn't, he obviously can score points and he can have those massive games, but LaVine's been a lot more consistent scoring.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think if he's not better now, he's going to be better by the end of the season. It's going to be, unless we see this magic change happen in Wiggins, yeah.
All right, I got one more for you, and I don't know if I like this. I kind of just thrust it together. It's a four-teamer, so I do always like a good four-teamer.
I like the blockbuster.
Yeah. Okay. So Philly gets Rajon Rondo, Amir Johnson, Sacramento's top 10 protected pick that the Chicago Bulls own, and Memphis's 2019 first round pick that Boston owns. So they get two first round picks, Rondo and Amir Johnson.
Okay.
Brooklyn gets Gerald Henderson and Jahlil Okafor. Chicago
two gets big guys they can't defend.
Well, Chicago gets Brook Lopez and Sergio Rodriguez. Yep. And Boston gets Robin Lopez.
So Boston give up Amir Johnson for Robin Lopez?
And a 2019 first round pick, probably lottery protected.
I'd do that. It's going to instantly make Boston a lot better.
Yeah.
I'd like Robin Lopez next to Horford. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yep.
Does everything Horford doesn't. So I like that for Boston. Philly gives up Okafor, Henderson, and
Sergio Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
And they get two first round picks, but they have to take on an expiring contract in Amir Johnson and Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, well, that's not. Yeah, I'd probably rather have Amir Johnson than Okafor. Right now is Philly, especially if they want to make a run. So Amir's is expiring this year.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. They could maybe even re-sign him if he does all right. He'd be a good fit actually alongside one of the Noel or Embiid, even Saric.
I think he'd play well against with Saric or Embiid.
Yeah. So that works. Rondo in there. Well, I mean
he's an upgrade.
McConnell, who is a sort of a Rondo-esque player.
Pass first point guard.
Yeah, he plays well with that team. So I just hate to see Rondo go in there and try and, this is my team, you're all young guys who don't know how to play. And
you never know with Rondo, eh? You don't know what's going to happen.
So maybe you just don't light that fire, but yeah, I mean, getting rid of Okafor's your odd man out in Philly, so yeah, I'm not too fussed about that for Philly. Bulls, so they, who do the
they turn Rondo, Robin Lopez, and a first round pick into Sergio Rodriguez and Brook Lopez.
Yeah,
Brook will give them some offense, some much needed offense.
Yes,
and
hey, he shoots threes as well.
Yeah, they can actually roll reverse where normally you pair up a stretch four with a defensive center. Like, you could pair up Brook Lopez with a defensive power forward and Taj Gibson.
Yeah, yeah. And Rodriguez will be, he'd fit in well there as well.
Yeah.
I think so. I like that for Chicago. And that remains with Brooklyn. So they get rid of
Brook Lopez. And they get Jahlil Okafor and Gerald Henderson.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they haven't won with Brook Lopez. He still rebounds horrendously for his size, and Okafor rebounds okay. They just start afresh with Okafor instead of Lopez, and Henderson,
there to make salaries work.
Yeah, yes, I thought that trade could work. It's just Rondo. Moving Rondo in there would be...
Yeah.
Will be the hard thing, especially he's still got one more year, around 14 mil or so, doesn't he?
Yeah, can he opt out? I feel like it's a player option.
I think, well, you'd sort of want him to.
yeah, you definitely want him to.
Yeah, I know it's roughly around 14 mil he's on.
It's 14 mil, definitely.
Yeah, so... Yeah, Rondo, moving him. It's going to be hard. He's burned a few bridges.
Yes.
Already.
More than a few.
Yes.
So I'll call up Sean Marks, tell him to get on the phones, get this done.
Get it done.
Haven't seen a four teamer in a long time.
No, it's no player or team option.
Huh? Surprising. Oh well, so, Philly needs to take on salary. They're actually below the minimum salary.
The thing with Rondo, I'm just reading here, he's only guaranteed for $3 million until Friday 30th of June this year. So if they cut him, they can save $11 million.
Yep.
His contract. It's 13.4, so yeah.
Mm.
Just over $10 million, so yeah, maybe he is a bit more enticing than it looks like on paper.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps it up really there for third episode so far. If we're getting a bit better. Thank the guys at podcastsupport.com once again. Prediction Machine's pretty cool. So follow it. Follow them on Twitter as well, just podcastsupport.com. And that's us. Over and out.
Sweet. Peace.